Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Maz and you're listening to episode 21 of the Balanced Natural Health Podcast, where we discuss East, West and all the best in natural health. In today's episode, I'm going to be answering some community questions and we'll be covering topics such as liver function and liver sluggishness, menopause and how we manage the symptoms of that, how to protect our bones as we age and our skin, and talking also about eyesight. And we will recap on a question I had last week around the connection between pelvic floor, bunions, teeth thinning and gum receding. And we'll notice as we chat about all of these questions that there seems to be a common thread that we always come back to, which is that of feeding and nourishing our body with the most wholesome whole foods we can, looking after our emotional and mental health, managing any stress, striving for a balance between yin and yang in our lives, where yang is the active, productive aspect and yin is the restorative, resting, replenishing aspect. So we can't be running life all in one mode, and it's important to get a balance between the two. Also talking about some other lifestyle practices like Qigong or breathwork or meditation that can certainly be helpful in addressing a lot of the questions that came up, and things like reducing inflammation and potentially processed foods and other bits and pieces that we can avoid to support that. So let's dive straight into it. And I thought let's kick off with a question around liver. So the question was, what are some signs that your liver may be sluggish? So from a biomedical perspective, if we're purely talking about just sluggish liver organ, so not the whole liver system, we see symptoms such as yellowing of the skin or eyes. There might be nausea and loss of appetite and bloating, digestive discomfort, because if the liver is not functioning at its full potential, and also the liver's partner organ is the gallbladder. So liver is the yin counterpart of the yang of the gallbladder, and our gallbladder produces bile, which helps us digest fatty and heavier foods. So we might see that when the liver and its partner, the gallbladder, is sluggish, we might have that digestive discomfort. We might have difficulty digesting heavier meals or feel particularly tired or a bit kind of queasy and gross after them. We might find that there's some pain on that right side of the rib cage, which is where the liver is located, at that lower edge there. And because the gallbladder is part of the picture as well, we might often see pain on the rear of the right shoulder or around the right shoulder area too. We'll also see things potentially like headaches, trouble processing alcohol and other chemicals, and generalized itching and hormone imbalances. And these are all signs that we notice in Chinese medicine when the whole liver system is potentially unbalanced. We also specifically see things like itchy eyes and potentially blurry vision as well. So it can look like someone has smeared like Vaseline all over your eye lenses. We might see things like migraines, one-sided headaches. They're very commonly related to a liver imbalance. We might see mood changes. So very often when someone feels like they could bite your head off at the slightest provocation, that can be a livery sign as well. So that frustration, irritability, lots of sighing. If you find yourself having lots of huffing and puffing and sighing, that's the body's attempt to restore movement to that liver area. So by taking a deep breath and by opening up the diaphragm, which sits around near the liver there, we can actually help to give the liver some breathing space that it can do its important job. In Chinese medicine, we might also notice signs like a bitter taste in the mouth. Some people call it metallic. In our classical texts, we refer to it as bitter. But if someone tells me they have a metallic taste, I do also question further around other liver signs. We might notice things like dizziness and higher blood pressure. Because the liver is ruled by the wood element, and the wood element has a particular susceptibility to be aggravated by wind. We notice that when people's liver is a little bit out of whack, they might be more sensitive to wind and breezes and chills. Things like that might make them feel unsettled. So that could be a sign to look at the liver. And also the classic one of waking at around 2 or 3 a.m. So that's a big liver sign too. And the other one that really is quite a clincher for liver imbalance for me is when there's a sensitivity to smells. So I remember back when I was quite unwell before I came to Chinese medicine, walking down the laundry and detergent aisle of the supermarket would make me feel quite nauseous. And I later discovered that when our liver is overloaded and has a backlog of processing of toxins to clear out or chemicals to clear out, then we can be more easily affected by these artificial smells. So that's another one to look for. So now that we've covered the signs that we might see, how can we support the liver in coming back to balance? So luckily, there are lots of things that we can do from a Chinese medicine perspective. The first one, and this is related to the fact that the liver and gallbladder are wood and they're ruled by the color green, is to eat more leafy greens. So things like rocket, like bok choy, cabbage, spinach, all of these are really wonderful in nourishing the liver, and they have an aspect of bitterness as well, which the bitter flavor stimulates bile production, and bile is needed to help break down fatty foods and heavier foods. Bile is also the most potent antioxidant in the body, so it's a great scavenger of any toxins and other random bits and pieces that need to get cleared up. So definitely stimulating bile production is really important. And to that end, we reach for the bitter flavors. So this is things like dandelion, black coffee, even like digestive bitters are wonderful. A lot of our herbal preparations for liver are notoriously bitter, as my patients are always ever so grateful for. Now, because the liver is also our major organ of detoxification, we can support the liver's detoxification with certain foods that are sulfur rich. So again, these are things like broccoli, cabbage, kale, cauliflower, also onions. Now, with the cruciferous veggies like your broccolis and cabbage and so on, we know that they are very potent also for supporting hormone clearance. So there's the supplement DIM or diindolmethane, which many of you have heard about, which supports estrogen clearance. We know that the liver is very important in regulating happy, healthy hormones. So incorporating these foods into our diet can certainly help that side of things. And as I often say, sometimes it's not just about what we put in, but what we take out. So definitely removing any hormone disruptors or any toxic loading input that we have potentially in our environment or in our diet. So this would be things like processed foods, like trans fats, seed oils are very pro-inflammatory as well, genetically modified foods. Where possible, I suggest to go for organic or spray-free to reduce that toxic load of pesticides, which the liver then has to process. Another option is also the Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen veggie lists. So you can look at those and see which ones are the Clean 15 that are better options if you're not buying spray-free or organic, and which are the Dirty Dozen or like the notorious ones that absorb a lot of the chemicals that we should avoid if we're not buying organic or spray-free for those. We definitely want to look at eliminating or drastically reducing alcohol intake, because then that will again reduce the load on the liver. And then looking at things like BPAs in plastic, so making sure that we're using glass or metal containers for water and food rather than plastics, which can leach into the food. We also want to consider stress and how we're dealing with stress in our lives. And on this topic, very often when I ask people, are you stressed? I get the answer, no, I'm fine. But I actually think that our baseline level of stress has become so normalized, and in our society, we haven't had a chance to experience any different. So in our society, we have this constant overload of demands on our attention and our time and our focus. And it's really a lot to process and assimilate. There's not much downtime comparatively compared to active time. So that's that yin and yang balance that I touched on in the introduction. So definitely looking at how we're processing and releasing our emotions. So looking at things like, are there any emotional habits that are popping up in our lives, and are we feeling frustrated or easily triggered by certain things? And if so, maybe we can journal about them and look at what is behind that. Or maybe we take the time when these emotions are popping up, just 1 minute, to just be with that emotion in our body without needing to tell a story about it, just being with that emotion, letting it run through so that it can be witnessed and released. And one habit that I find really supports being able to be present with our emotions as they come up is that of meditating. So this can be just as simple as sitting with your breath for five minutes a day. And over time, this just allows us to develop a deeper connection with our body, mind, and soul, and what's going on for us, how we're responding to different things. Because the liver system is charged with the movement of qi throughout the body, when our emotions are moving freely and they're not getting snagged or shoved under a rug somewhere, then all of the other physiology flows smoothly on from there. And one final thing that can support the unbinding of liver qi and support healthy liver function is movement. So liver does not like to be constrained. It likes to move freely like the branches of a tree. So liver is ruled by wood, and a tree likes to spread its branches outwards and take up space, and so does the liver. So definitely movement is really important. So something like fast walking can be really great, especially swinging the arms side to side is going to bring some movement into that torso, into the ribs where the liver sits, and give the liver some space. Also, things like punching a punching bag can be great because we're getting that twist through the ribs and it's releasing any stuck liver energy sitting around that area. So that's a whole lot on how to love the liver. Basically, green leafy veggies, cruciferous sulfur-rich veggies and onions, bitter foods to encourage bile production, healthy movement, deep breathing, processing stress, releasing emotions, and reducing the toxic load going in. The next part of this person's question was about enemas and what are my thoughts on them. Now, enemas do appear in classical Chinese medicine and even in modern usage of Chinese medicine. One of my teachers said that in Chinese hospitals, when people with traumatic brain injuries come into hospital, the first thing that they do is make sure, I mean, obviously after stabilizing them, but one of the first things they do once they're settled is to make sure that they have voided their bowels, because we are basically one continuous tube. So if we remove pressure from within, we're also reducing pressure on the brain. And the brain is also linked with the stomach and intestines in Chinese medicine. They are classified as hollow organs, and the stomach and digestive system rule the hollow spaces. So if they're healthy, then the hollow space of the brain will also have space to breathe. So in our classical texts, we use bile enemas and honey enemas. Now, this is not an area that I have much experience in. I do know of many practitioners that I respect outside of Chinese medicine who are using enemas in cases where there's a lot of clearing out of the body and detoxing to be done. So I definitely think they have a place. I do absolutely draw a distinction between enemas and colonic irrigation. I have never seen, in my experience, any positive outcomes come from colonic irrigation. I've seen a complete collapse of the digestive system. It basically decimates all of the microbiome and that flora that's been built up in the intestines, the intestinal flora. We have like up to 1.5 kilos of a rich bacterial milieu there, and it's essential for digesting food and synthesizing vitamins and a whole lot of other important functions. What I've seen often happen after people do colonics is they'll have sudden diarrhea in very inopportune moments. There's exhaustion, fatigue. It can take a while to get the digestion right again. So I think that's a really extreme measure. It's basically like razing to the ground the whole bacterial garden that we have, rather than being selective about it as we do with herbal treatments and enemas. Now, before I continue to the next question, just quickly sharing about some of the modern Chinese medicine uses for enemas. And they are in situations where targeted herbal formulas are used to address conditions such as endometriosis, liver cirrhosis, pancreatitis, dysentery, colitis, inflammation of the intestines, and so on. So they're actually working directly on that target tissue there. Okay, on to the next question, menopause and how to manage symptoms and loss of bone as you age, etc. All right, so let's start with menopause, and this is going to be different for everyone. It's going to depend on what our health history has been, our life journey, what's going on in our particular body, mind, and soul. But a very good starting place is basically a lot of the stuff that I touched on with liver. So making sure that what goes in is as supportive as possible, making sure that where possible, we're eliminating toxins that are maybe in our food or in personal care products like deodorants, skincare, cosmetics. Perfumes are a really big one. Many perfumed products like perfumes themselves, but also body sprays and soaps and lotions, scented candles, room sprays, laundry detergents. All of them are full, very often, of synthetic fragrances, which can be endocrine or hormone disruptors. And they also can give the liver extra work. And the liver is very important in processing and metabolizing all of our hormones. So if the liver has a backlog of other tasks, then that function might be compromised as well. So that's a really big one. Looking after the quality of our nutrition is a big one as well. Interestingly enough, the foods that help with hormone regulation are the ones that I mentioned for the liver question just before. So things like sulfur-rich cruciferous vegetables, like your broccoli and onions and so on, are really important to incorporate as well. In episodes 2 and 3 of my podcast, I have delved quite deeply into happy, healthy hormones. So you can also refer back to those 2 episodes if you'd like more information on how to support hormone health. Now, because stress can very strongly disrupt our hormones, managing our stress at this time of menopause and perimenopause is particularly important. I do think that we can become a little bit more porous to life stresses. I think where possible, we need to make time to retreat from life's demands. It's at this age, we've been looking after others and looking after our community and working hard and multitasking for many decades. And now it's a time to draw back and nurture ourselves through this transition. So many people, I've heard it referred to as a second puberty. And I think if we bring this gentleness to ourselves and how we walk ourselves through this transition, it doesn't have to be at all pathologized like it is in our culture. And I love hearing stories about how in other cultures, women are revered for their spiritual connection when they move through this stage of life. When in our childbearing years, we have the capacity to bring forth material, physical bodies, amazing humans into life. And I think as women, when we move through into this next stage, we have the capacity to birth ideas and spiritual concepts into life as well. So I love that the wisdom of this stage of life is revered. I think we can embrace that and get excited about that. I'm certainly getting excited about it too. And yes, with the correct support and space, it doesn't have to be pathologized. And I understand that there's going to be different levels of pulling back that are possible for different people. We all have different commitments and obligations, but sometimes even just the awareness that we are permitted and allowed to pull back a little bit from things, perhaps it's not giving all of ourselves to something, and that's okay. So just even that awareness of leaving some energy for us can be very powerful in itself. So if there are specific symptoms or signs that are popping up around menopause or perimenopause, they can be addressed with the help of herbal prescriptions or with specific treatments. For example, with hot flushes, there are Bupleurum or Chaihu based formulas that work in the majority of cases that I've used them in. So that really settles down that temperature dysregulation. It's also important at this time to make sure that we're nurturing ourselves with nutrient-rich food, and to that end, making sure also that we're front-loading our meals with healthy protein and healthy fats that can support our blood sugar regulation and our energy release, and make sure that we're not reaching for carbs and comfort food when our energy crashes. Also, looking after our sleep is important. So whatever it is that you need to do to ensure that you're getting an adequate restful night's sleep. So some people find magnesium can be helpful, others not so much. Something that a simple practice that can help before bed is actually soaking the feet in hot Epsom salts. So the Epsom salts are soothing and calming. They've got the magnesium component, but also that heat on the feet draws the heat and busyness away from the head. So it helps to draw the energy downward and to ground it in preparation for sleep. So many people find that this is a really great way to calm the system before sleep, and you don't need to be menopausal or a woman to enjoy the benefits. So how to support ourselves through menopause is such a big topic. I'm actually working on some classes and workshops. So if this is something that you'd like to hear more about and there are specific things you'd like to know more about, please let me know. But basically, as a baseline, if we are looking at our liver function, so making sure that we're limiting our toxic bucket, all of the different toxins of our environment, we're limiting that as much as possible. We're giving ourselves the best nutrition. We're making sure that we're having time for us to process this transition, this second puberty, and incorporating regular exercise to move our chi and make sure we're getting beautiful breath and movement happening, and absolutely also meditation, journaling, processing our emotions, letting go of what we're not taking with us into this next stage of life, and freeing up our energy to allow all of the beautiful, amazing changes that are happening to come through with ease. So the next part of this person's question was to do with the loss of bone and what we can do about that as we age, and also crepey skin or saggy skin. So what we can do about that. So the first potential solution that I'm going to share comes from my beautiful mum, who's also a scientist. She's a biochemist. And mum dug up some research looking into prunes to protect bone health and to protect against bone resorption. Now, I believe in the paper that she found, it was 5 or 6 prunes a day had a measurable effect on protecting against bone loss. So this might be suitable for some people if their bodies are okay with eating dried fruit. Obviously, we want to be looking for ones that don't have added sulfur dioxide, which also goes by the number 220, and it's a preservative. And where possible, we want to be limiting all additives and preservatives. So looking for naturally dried and preserved prunes. Another big one for bone protection is adequate vitamin D. So the best sources of this are fatty fish and egg yolks. Beef liver is a big one. I've recently started experimenting with organic beef liver powder as a supplement for myself. If you're a vegetarian or vegan, then mushrooms are the best natural source of vitamin D. And we want to be combining that with adequate sun exposure. So getting as much of our body exposed to as much of the sun as we possibly can. As I've touched on in other episodes, we know that the sun is a really, really potent activator of water. So it helps to structure and vitalize our bodies and our body water, which then supports all of the correct function and metabolic processes that are happening in our bodies. So sun is so important. Sun equates to yang as well. And as we age, naturally, that spark of life, that divine spark of yang that we're born with, starts to wane a little bit. So the more that we can do to build that warmth, build that fire, keep it stoked and burning, is going to be wonderful for our process as we get older. So definitely lots of healthy sun exposure will support that too. The other light frequency that has been shown to have a beneficial effect on bone is infrared light. So getting into an infrared sauna or getting an infrared light at home can be really beneficial. Again, we're just using native frequencies to support the coherence and overall harmony of our body to ensure the best possible function and vitality. Some of you might be familiar with the product Natto, and that is a fermented soy product from Japan. It's very rich in K2. So beef liver also is very rich in K2 or vitamin K in general, and that has been shown to have a protective effect on bone. So if you'd like to get some stinky tofu as a topping on your foods, that can be a great way to deliver that into your diet. There can be many different underlying causes for bone loss, and one of these can be a lack of coherence in the body, so a lack of that lovely structured vital water. So all of those practices I've discussed in past episodes can be supportive to maintaining the coherence and structure of the body. Two other big factors that can be root causes for bone loss can be a malabsorption or insufficient absorption of minerals and nutrients from our diet, as well as chronic inflammatory situations. And often these two go hand in hand. If we're in a chronic inflammatory state, so if we're constantly in this fight or flight mode, then the body can't rest and digest and absorb. So again, managing stress, reducing our toxic loads. So I think of all of us as having a little toxin bucket, and inevitably there are toxins around us in pollution and air spraying, and even like the off-gassing that comes from furniture and paint and so on. So unfortunately, in our current iteration of the world, they are difficult to escape unless you live deep in the forest. But if we don't overload our little toxin bucket and we do everything we can to reduce what's in our power, then our bodies are truly magnificent at processing what's in our bucket and getting on with life. So reducing what we can in the form of, say, synthetic fragrances, chemical cleaning products, non-organic or sprayed foods and so on, everywhere that we can reduce that, the more it's going to benefit our overall health in every aspect, not just when it comes to bone health, but in every aspect of health. So it's interesting to note that even in the biomedical research, there is a link between the use of PPIs, which are proton pump inhibitors, and they reduce or inhibit the release of stomach acid. So they're commonly given in cases of reflux or suspected ulcers or what might be termed an excess of stomach acid, which in holistic medicine we actually know is to do with an insufficient acidity in the stomach, so insufficient digestive power. So there is a link between these PPIs, inhibitors of digestion, and osteoporosis. So we know that there is a link between insufficient absorption and insufficient digestion, and then those nutrients are not being delivered to the body. So the body will protect against that by drawing from the bones. So definitely making sure that our digestion is firing on all cylinders. I feel like a bit of a broken record with this because I feel like I'm always talking about ways to nurture the spleen and nurture our digestion. But if you'd like more information on this, I think it's episode 5 of my podcast has information on how to support your digestion. The more completely we're assimilating and absorbing, the more we're going to be able to deliver those benefits to bones and teeth, for example, and our skin, which was the next part of the question. So when it comes to skin structure, we know of the importance of collagen and vitamin C in looking after skin structure. I also think that our skin can benefit from regular love and massage, whether in the form of dry brushing, massage. Definitely movement is a great way to get things moving and get that collagen energized. It's a living matrix, the collagen matrix. It's semiconductive and it's full of fluid. So again, the more coherent that fluid is, and here we come back to the structured water again, the better our skin's going to be as well. I am also a big fan of gua sha, facial gua sha, to mobilize the skin and fascia and muscles of the face. Also facial massage and stretches also to release any tension and pulling through the front of the neck and around the collarbone area that can cause sagging on the skin. So there's lots of amazing resources that we can look into there. And there is a lot that we can do to support our skin as we age. I'm also a big fan of frankincense essential oil in my daily skincare. So we use frankincense in Chinese medicine to regenerate skin. And it's also been found in some recent research I was doing to have a very high light quotient. So using this on our skin helps to keep our skin supple and alive and helps to, again, structure the all of the water in the cells there. It's interesting to me that a lot of traditional cultures use bone broth and things like gristly cartilage in their cooking, and these are full of collagen, and this helps to protect our joints as we age. It nourishes our bones and it also looks after our skin, hair, and nails. So these days we don't necessarily need to cook up gristle to get the benefits. We can also get some lovely collagen powder or gelatin powder. I use the one from NutraOrganics, which I just add to my cooking. For vegos and vegans and for everyone as well, making sure that we're getting enough vitamin C is also really important. So we can get that from things like broccoli, for example, Brussels sprouts, even potatoes have vitamin C in them. A lot of herbs are full of vitamin C, so like coriander and parsley, fresh lime and lemon in our drinking water can also be a great way to keep upping our daily vitamin C intake naturally without having to revert to supplements. Now, no discussion of bone health would be complete without talking about the importance of weight-bearing exercise or movement. So this helps to strengthen the bones. So some kind of movement practice like yoga, it doesn't have to be high impact, but it does have to be weight-bearing. Some forms of qigong, walking, but also making sure that we're getting some upper body weight-bearing exercises in there as well. So looking after our bones as we age is another big topic. I could talk about it for hours, but just a few other points before I finish up on this one. Some other useful foods that we can incorporate into our diet are, surprise, surprise, the brassica cruciferous veggies, so the broccolis and cabbages and onion as well. And also I came across some interesting research looking at essential oils to inhibit bone resorption. And these were essential oils that had monoterpenes in them. So there were oils like sage, pine, rosemary, thyme, eucalyptus. And it's interesting to me when I look at the signature of these plants, many of them are quite stalky or straight. They have like a nice density to their stems or trunks. So Mother Nature's always giving us signs about what a plant or an element of nature might be beneficial for. So on to the next question, which was about eyesight and can you get it back? This one I think I'll need to probably devote another podcast to, but the answer is quite possibly. It depends on what the root cause is. I've seen with liver system imbalances that blurriness that I mentioned before, where we feel like someone sort of smeared Vaseline or fogged up our vision, and that can absolutely clear up even just with internal medicine for supporting the liver system. I've seen floaters clear up. I'm also seeing people using castor oil, organic castor oil, on their eye area to help pull out any impurities that are maybe interfering with the gel within the eyeball. And a medicinal that has been traditionally used in Chinese medicine for brightening the vision is pearl powder. So I'm hearing of people having beneficial results with that too. Now, I have read that the water within the eyeball is the most highly structured water within the body. So as it loses its structure, it would make sense to me that some of that signals or the clarity of the signal that's coming through might be disrupted. So anything we can do to support the restructuring of that water, whether by all of the practices I talked about before, but also using frequency structuring devices directly over our eyeballs. So there is one of my frequency tools that I use on myself is the terahertz wand. I will do a little Insta or Facebook reel on this in coming weeks so you can see what it looks like if you haven't seen one. It uses terahertz waves, which have been researched therapeutically to help restructure water in the body. And I'm using this with my eyes closed over my eyes and also on the back of my skull near where the optic nerve travels. And I am noticing that my eyes get less tired at night. So that's definitely another option. So I think there are often many solutions we can explore and try out for ourselves and see what resonates for us and our health. So before I finish up, I just wanted to touch on a reel I did on my socials about a question I had about pelvic floor, bunions, thinning teeth, and receding gums. And I just wanted to touch on this briefly in this podcast because all of these can come from a common root. So often I feel like I am repeating myself with talking about the importance of good nutrition, optimal digestion, being able to assimilate our food, managing stress, and so on. But the reason I do so is because when we get these fundamentals right, then they are like the roots of a tree, and then good health grows out of that. So very often when we have symptoms or signs that might appear disparate or unrelated, they very often have a common root cause. And in this case, we can look at the spleen, and the spleen is charged with many functions in addition to digesting and assimilating food as well as life experiences. But the spleen system is charged with holding everything in place. So when we see saggy pelvic floors or prolapses or things not in their rightful place, then we look at the spleen and we support the spleen so that it can have the energy and the integrity to hold everything in place. Now, bunions are a swelling of the first joint of the first toe. And interestingly enough, the spleen channel runs through this area. So in Japanese acupuncture, we actually look at this sign or this presentation as sugar toes, which points to a possible dysregulation of the sugar metabolism and our ability to digest and absorb nutrients. So again, the fact that it's on the spleen channel and related to digestion also gives us a clue that the spleen might be involved. Now, teeth thinning, much like bone loss, can be to do with an insufficiency of minerals in our diet and nutrients, but also we might be getting them in our diet, but we might not necessarily be absorbing them and transporting them to where they're needed. So again, looking after the spleen and making sure it has enough energy to completely absorb and assimilate will support the health of our teeth and bones. And finally, receding gums. This comes under the remit of the spleen holding everything in its place. So we want the gums to be nice and full. And if they're not sitting in their rightful place, then that comes under that function. Also, the spleen rules the flesh and makes sure that our flesh is juicy and full and firm. So if our gums are not firm and not holding in place, then again, we're looking at the spleen. So just by then bringing our attention to the spleen over time can start to correct some of those presentations, those branch presentations of the root cause. So I hope that's been helpful and interesting. I'd love to hear any questions you might have or any experiences you'd love to share. I'm most active on socials over at Insta and Facebook at Balanced with Dr. Maz. So let me know if there's anything you'd love me to chat about in the future, and I look forward to chatting with you next time. All the best.